Second song matter, I delete everything anyway.
So first
okay, so here we go. First of all, we're going to have Rishon Rashi and Tetzave. And then today we're doing a heavy sukkah, part of Halef, Shiva Dera, Shiva Derabanan. And then tomorrow we're going to finish up Halef, Nabi Huskar. And we're going to have an introduction as to why the Ikkar learning is to learn Yoni Halacha L'maisa B'Iyun. People nowadays have this misimpression of what the highest level of learning is. The highest level of learning is to learn the sugya and to get to the Halacha L'maisa with some understanding. For a variety of historical reasons, people think that the highest level of learning is learning with brisket tires and lumdas all the time. And we'll discuss where that came from. But my rabbis don't say that's the highest level. And that's why when we switch to Tainus after Pesach, those of us who are here after Pesach, switching to Tainus. So one of the reasons is that for the whole yeshiva to learn a mesechta together, make a siyum together, it's a great feeling, the achdus, that everyone's learning the same thing. The other reason is to learn Moed Mesechtas Halacha L'maisa is what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to know what's going on out there and know what to do and understand it from the Gemara down to the Shulchan Aruch, which is what you're supposed to do. So it's not that it's like a B'diyevet thing. It's a Luchat Chila thing. And that's why learning Pesachim is great and learning Brachos is great. And for whatever reasons, yeshivas don't do it for different reasons. Okay. And we'll discuss that. B'sat Hashem. I think I'll give you my angle on like how it happened that yeshivas do that, and guys leave yeshiva sometimes not knowing.
Why every Wednesday?
What?
Why every Wednesday?
Maybe. Oh, maybe. Why guys don't like guys leave yeshiva after a couple of years, knowing you know sugyas and halach b'iyun with Brisker Lumdus, Birchas Avram, and different approaches, and then. Yeah, why not? We'll do it. Eitan Dektus Kasha. Good. Eitan Dektus Kasha.
No, it's
Moshe. Eitan Dektus Slicha. Eitan Dektus Shlitas Kasha. Okay, sorry. That was a joke. But we don't know Moed in Yanim Halach, which is it's strange. So that we'll have to discuss. But that's the Ikkar, and that's why it's not a good idea that the yeshiva switches to Tainus. It's a great idea. Okay, but that we'll discuss. I'm very excited about it. Here we go. Okay, Beato Tetzave, the beginning of the parasha talks about the lighting of the menorah. So it says, Lehalos ner samid, to light a lamp. Lehalos means to continually light it. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Madrik ad shete shalheves olam elel, till the flame rises on its own. When you light a candle, you can light it, especially with a wax, with an oil candle. You light it, then you take it away, and it didn't really catch. You have to keep the lighting candle there until you see the oil comes up the wick and it's lighting well on its own. That's the halacha. So all the Sfarim say, Ner Mitzvah Torah Or, the light of the menorah represents the light of the Torah, and the lighting of the menorah is symbolic of chinuch, teaching Torah. So the Sfarim say, Rav Moshe says, this is not the first one, that when you teach someone, your goal is to teach them and also teach them the skills, hopefully the inspiration to want to learn on their own. So that's the idea. Till it's olam me'eleha, till the candle lights on its own. So you teach Torah to your students till they're on their own, they want to learn it, and they're able to learn. That's a very nice word about chinuch. Okay. Next, me'erev ad boker. You lit the menorah. The menorah was lit at night, and it lit until the morning. How long? So how much oil? Rashi says, the last pasuk in the perek. Tein lo midasa sheitei d'levs me'erev ad boker. V'shir chachamim chatzilu d'leili tebeis ha'arukin. Chem v'chol ha'leilos. V'im yivasa en b'kach klum. In the winter, the nights are longer, so the most you ever need is a chatzilu. So you use the chatzilu all the time, even in the summer. So it's interesting. They didn't calibrate it, or whatever the word is, or make it proportional based on what time of year it was. in the winter, the night they had a lot. They needed all of it. In the summer, you didn't need all of it, and you still put the full amount of oil in. So what does that mean? So Moshe Feinstein again says an interesting idea. He says the long winter nights represent those students that are weaker. They need a little extra help. So the Torah is saying, give them the full amount of attention, all the help they need, and all the extra guidance they need. You know, don't say, well, he's not going to be a gadol anyway. No, you give all the full attention. So in the winter, when the nights are longer, you give a lot of help. Rav Moshe has a thing he says a couple of times. He must have seen this in his life, a few times in his life, because he talks about it all the time. What if you have a kid who's amazing, learns well, and he's very smart and a masmid? So what do? He doesn't need so much attention. He goes on autopilot. Rav Moshe says, wrong, big mistake. Just like the kids that need extra help get it, the kids that are strong and learn a lot and learn high levels should also get the same full attention. Because everyone needs the attention from a parent, from the rebbein, with the same vigilance. And if you don't give them the vigilance they need, the attention they need, then autopilot's not going to work. You hear? So he says that's the pshat, that the summer months, the summer evenings that are shorter, represent the students that get everything quickly. They don't need a chatzi lug of shemen. They can get by with a sixth of a lug. But what do? You still put the whole chatzi lug of shemen in to show that they also need the full attention. You got it? It's a deep vort. That's Rav Moshe's vort on the lesson of how much oil. Okay, there's a huge... The Rashi's here are gigantic. They're all about what the big day kuna looked like, and it's worthwhile going through it, obviously, to get it. And there are books that have pictures. The art school, Chumash Rashi has pictures. There are other books that have, even more elaborate pictures of what it looked like, and it's worth going through Chumash and Rashi with the pictures. Okay, here we go. If you had the 12 shvatim, they're on the 12 shvatim on the Kisvos Ha'efod. This is Rashi, Perakav Ches Pasak Yud Beis. Lizikaron, as a remembrance. What does that mean? Sheiru Kadosh Baruch Hu et Hashvatim Kesuvim Lefanov VeYiskor Tzidkasam. Hashem remembers their tzidkas. When Hashem sees the names, so that obviously Hashem doesn't need to remember anything; He knows everything. But having the names there as a zikaron, Hashem in a sense focuses more. He gives thought to their remembrance, to their tzidkus, and that acts as a schus for Am Yisrael. So that's why the names of the Shvatim are on the Kisvos Ha'efod. Next, what exactly is the Urim V'Tumim? This is in Perek Kaf Ches Pasuk Lamed, the Urim V'Tumim. What is that? Oh, very good. That's one possible answer. Rashi said a different shot. Okay. A different shot. So Rashi says, this is a famous Rashi, Pasuk Lamed, the end of Perek Kaf Ches, Huksav Shem Meforosh. The actual Shem Meforosh was written there and was put, no snow betoch kiflei hachoshen. The choshen was folded over, was put inside the choshen on the chest of the Kohen. Shal yado hu meir dvarav mitumam es dvarav. Through that Shem Meforosh, it would illuminate the words and bring tumim, perfection to the words. In other words, Urim is light, tumim is perfection. So whenever they had a shiloh, they go to the kohen, the Am Yisrael shilohs, and the lights would light up, the letters would light up based on the Shem Meforosh inside. That's Urim v'Tumim. Urim light, Tumim perfection. Okay. Now, B'mikdash Sheni. What's it? Great. B'mikdash Sheni. Haya Choshen. There was a Choshen. Why? You can't do that with missing begotten. There was a choshen in Baishan. There were eight begotten, but also a shame lohaya besochah. It didn't have the shame of Meforosh. And that's why it didn't have the same koach of the Urim V'Tumim. Alright, so that the Urim V'Tumim means the shame of Meforosh, which lit up the letters on the choshen of the Kohen Gadol. Alright, let's go on. Next, the tzitz. So Rashi and Pasuk Lamed Zayin gives you a whole picture. The Kohen Gadol's head was full. There was a lot of stuff up there. So he had on his mitznefes. That was like the hat that he wore. And he had the tzitz on his forehead. And Rashi explains that there was a little space of hair between the tzitz and the mitznefes. And that's what went there? The tzvillin. So the Kohen Gadol had everything. He had the tzitz on the top. He was all the remembrances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitznefes on the head, the tzitz over here. And Rashi says, the little seyar here, a spot for, that's what Rashi says. Ha'emetzach Aaron, u'bishritas kachim, that's Rashi's nickname for Mesechus Vachim. Sa'aro ha'yanira bein tzitz la mitznefes, she'sham me'niach tzvillin. Oh. It's up here, and the tzitz here milamata, not on the mitznefes, and then the tefillin in between. Okay, that's the picture of what the Kohen Gadol's head looked like. Very kadosh filled head. Next, pasuk mem aleph. Oh, pasuk mem aleph. Rashi has a lashon here. This is a good lashon. Now, The first part of Tetzaveh talks about the big day kahuna. The second part talks about the 7 days of the
week.
The week of? The week of the Miluim. This is called the week of the Miluim. The week of the Miluim were the 7 days of the inauguration of the Kohanim in the Mishkan. The first 7 days of Avodah, who did all the Avodah? Who was the Kohen the first 7 days? Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen the first 7 days. And he did the Avodah for the Kohanim. And this was their 7 days of becoming Kadosh to become the Kohanim afterwards. The Pashup Shad is, these were the 7 days of Adar before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's the standard view in Chazal. So, it's called Miluim. What does the word Miluim come from? Look in this you have to know. Look in Pasuk Mem Aleph. Look in the Pasuk. Perek Kaf Ches Pasuk Mem Aleph. Hilbashtos Amasaron Achicha, you'll put the clothes on him, Esbanov, Umashachtos, put the oil, Umileisa Es Yadam. You will fill their hands. What does that mean? Look in Rashi. Kol Milu Yadayim. Lashon chinuchu, inauguration, training. Kishu nichnas l'davar lios muchzak bal meos hayom v'hola. Oh, when you enter something, and now you're going to, that's going to be, you're holding it from now on. So these were the miluyim when Moshe was being mechanech, inaugurating the Kohanim into the kedusha of being Kohan. That's what miluyim means. The inauguration, the chinuch, getting them prepared, spirit, kedusha-wise, to be the Kohan. So that's why it's called the Miluim, from the words, Mileisa Es Yadam. You fill their hands. Your hand is empty. Someone gives you a job. As soon as you're ready to do the job, your hand is filled. Now you get to work. So that's the Lashon of Miluim. That's the Rashi. You have to know that word. Okay. Let's continue. Okay. The Rashi here mentions something which comes up later in Vayikra all the time. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says that you sprinkle the blood al mizbeach saviv, around the mizbeach. Look in Rashi in Pasuk Tes Zayin. Now, what does saviv mean? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, ein saviv el shtei matanos shein arba, two that are four. You don't sprinkle the blood all around the mizbeach. You go to the two corners. If you have a corner here, if you have a corner, and you splash blood on the corner, where does the blood go? To these two sides. Then you splash blood on this corner, where does it go? To these two sides. So when you splash blood on the corners, what have I done? Blood on all four sides. So whenever the Torah says, you splash the dam saviv, it doesn't mean you walk around splashing blood everywhere. You go to the two opposite corners, you throw it at the corner, it gets these two and these two. You got it? What's that called in the Mishnayos? Shtayim Shehein Arba. Two that are four. That's what Saviv is. Got it? Now that's what Rashi says here. Shtayim Saviv. Look here. Achas Bekeren Zav is Zu. Achas Bekeren Zav is Sheh Pekinegda Be'alachson. Diagonal. V'chol Matan Nir is Kishnei Tzidei Keren Eil. And each one looks like two. And it comes out there on all four sides. So whenever the Torah says Saviv, it means Shtaim Shein Arba. Okay? That next. Good. Rashi, Yudches, this you have to know. This phrase, we have it all the time. It's in the Chumash everywhere. It's in the... it's everywhere. Pasuk Yudches. Reach Nichoach. It should be a pleasing fragrance to Hashem. Over and over again, the Torah talks about Karbanos being a Reach Nich. What does it mean, a pleasing fragrance? Hashem likes the smell? No. Rashi, you must know this. Nachas Ruach Lefanai. It's a source of contentment. Nachas, contentment. You should have nachas. Lefanai. She'amarti v'naseh ritzoni. They did what I want. It's not that Hashem likes the smell. It means that when Hashem, when we do what we're supposed to do, that brings nachas ruach to Hashem. So it's a reach nichoach, the smell is pleasant, in that the smell represents that we're doing the mitzvos. And that's what brings nachas to Hashem, that we do the mitzvos. So reach nichoach means a pleasing smell. Hashem is pleased in a sense. Why? Because we're doing the mitzvos. What's the lashon? Amarti v'naseh ritzon. It's a very important Rashi. That's what the word reach nichoach means all over the Chumash. Rashi and Pasuk Yudches. Okay? Let's continue. Towards the end of the Perek, it says, Shivas, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Shivas Yamim Tamala Yadam, 7 days. So Rashi points out, and Pasuk Lamed Hei, Binyan Hazer B'Kabanos Halalu B'Chol Yom. In other words, this you have to know, this is what's happening. The Torah describes here a whole series of Kabanos. This happened every day for 7 days. For 7 days, Moshe was the Kohen Gadol, doing all of the Kabanos, with the Kohanim as being like the Baal HaBatim. And in those 7 days, every day, this whole thing was repeated. The first 7 days of the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe was busy. The first 7 days was doing this Avodah. That's what Rashi emphasizes, B'chol Yom. Not that it happened once during the week, it happened every day for 7 days. Okay. And then there's not much more here. See what else I have, and then we'll stop. Oh, okay. And finally, it's one of my favorite ports from our Persh, and then we'll stop. Okay, so what's this Tetzaveh about? The Big Day Kahuna and the Miluim. Okay? So now the Mishkan is built, that's in Truma. In Tetzaveh you have the Big Day Kahuna, you have the Miluim, and now you're ready to go. What's going to happen now? The Shekhinah comes into the Mishkan. The Kedusha comes. But there's something in between the Mishkan, the Kohanim, and the Miluim, and the Shekhinah. What's in between? The Karban Tamid. Look in the Chumash here. In Pasuk Lamed Ches, we finished the 7 days of the Miluim. The Torah says, the end of the Perek, bring the Karban Tamid. Shnayim Yom Tamid. You bring the Karban Tamid. And then, at the end of the parak of Parakoptes, it says, Veshchanta Pesoch Bnei Yisrael, and the Kedusha is there. You need the, so what does our first says is a big Yisok. Our first says that what brings Kedusha into the mission, into your life? The daily avodah. Consistency. That's the name of the game. You can have a Mishkan, you can have Big Day Kahuna, you can be a holy Kohen, but until you have the daily, consistent avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to have the Kedusha. That's what the Torah is teaching us. Before the Shekhinah comes, what do you have? You have the Karban Tamid. And then the Shekhinah comes, and then the Mishkan is ready to go. Okay, we'll stop here.